right back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
It's WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arcand, Chris Scheim, you at 617-779-7937. And joining us on the phone right now is Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. You can catch him on pre- and post-game today as the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills out in Orchard Park, 425 kickoff. Tommy Curran, how we doing?
Good, Christian. What's up, Scheim?
What's up, Tom?
There we go. Get that microphone on. Tom, let's go ahead and start with this matchup here today. It's one that I don't think any Patriot fan feels particularly good about. And I was sort of wondering what you think about the division, Buffalo being on top again, despite losing so many of their offensive skill players, Josh Allen playing like an MVP. Are we, as Patriots fans, are you expecting going to be looking up at them for a while now, just based on where we are and where they are?
Well, when you have the quarterback, you have the gold standard, the gold doubloon, and they have the quarterback, and that quarterback's not going anywhere anytime soon. So he is so talented, you figure that they're going to be a 9-plus win team, even on a horrible season, which the Patriots kind of were during the Brady era. So, yeah, they're going to be looking up at them, but I don't think it's as bleak as we think in the AFC East, because you have a quarterback issue in New York. You have a looming issue, I think, with Miami, because Tua is capable, but he's not an upper echelon quarterback, and they are in somewhat of a decline already because of the money that they've spent in different spots. So, yeah, it's bleak when you look at Buffalo, but the Patriots are in a position, I think, that they've already found the most important aspect, and they just have to figure out how to get good around Drake May.
Tom, this Buffalo defense has now allowed 40 points in two straight games and 20-plus in, what, five of their last six? So do you think there's any way this offense looks pretty good today, or do you think it's just all Buffalo all day?
No, I was just listening to Fitzy and you guys, and I thought to myself, when you really look at the Patriots' offense, I think it might have been you, Christian, who said, I don't know how they get past 17 points. If you look at the details of why they have not succeeded, it's peeing down their leg inside the 20 or inside the 10. It's going tentative, and it's knee-buckling in penalties, all of which should be fixable offensively. I think defense is defense, and they're just going to get boat raced because they're not talented over there.
Yeah.
But offensively, you had a drive going before the Wade and Robinson hold last week. You had a drive somewhat going before Vidarian Lowe showed up on the scene. You should have been able to score when you were down low and you went in third and one and fourth and one with runs into the middle of the line. Same thing with the previous week, Indianapolis Colts. You have a position, you're in position to win the football game. You get a pick from Christian Gonzalez. And then you run the ball twice into the middle of the line. You end up with a bad punt. They go 80 yards. Same thing with the Rams game. You know, you had opportunities to score and went tentative. So I think offensively, they're in a good spot, which is why, as you guys were talking about, you know, the scapegoating of Alex Van Pelt is interesting to watch unfold.
I agree. I don't love that's sort of the direction it seems to be going in, and not just with the Crafts and their note-taking up in the booth, but with, you know, Mayo. Even Drake May sort of had a barb at him about the QB sneaking and all of that on Sunday, though he did walk it back on Monday, and did have more of a full-throated support of Van Pelt, I think, than anybody else did. As far as this week goes with coaches, coordinators, it does seem like the tide has turned in terms of what people, fans maybe are expecting, media members maybe are expecting. You're hearing a lot more speculation from various outlets. Where do we stand on this right now as we get a couple hours away from kickoff? It seems like ownership, if they wanted to, could put the kibosh on all of this pretty quickly, but they haven't. Is that something we should read into?
I don't think we should, and always remember, and I'm sure that you understand this, so I don't mean to sound preachy. National follows local. So any Ian Rappaport, Diana Rossini, Adam Schefter report that comes out follows the local conversation. So what we did last week really is, whether he deserved to be or not, Mayo was put onto the hot seat by the media. Greg Bedard wrote a story that said basically, hey, if he's horrible down the stretch, the Patriots could make a change, which everybody understood to be the case prior to that story being written. But writing it and also adding in the detail that sources say that the Crafts would be willing to admit their mistake really gave substance to a logical conclusion that one would have drawn prior to the story being written. I'm not lacerating Greg necessarily for writing the story. I'm just saying we created it because, as Greg said when he was on the radio last week, what's the likelihood Mayo returns? 85%. So every question that was posed to Mayo in these press conferences, and people said, well, wow, he didn't really defend himself. I think it's because he understood that there is no real conversation there until we started it. Now, as the conversation has started, it is worth asking, do the Crafts listen to this, look at the reaction, which we ran a poll on Early Edition the other day, and 90% of the people responding, take poll respondents for what you will, but it was a huge number of people, like the highest number of people ever to answer a poll, said 90% said, time to move on from Gerard Mayo. So do the Crafts look at this hot seat that was media created, that Gerard was plopped into, and say, well, maybe we agree. Maybe he is on the hot seat. Maybe he should be. Everybody else seems to think so. So that's where I am on it. So I don't think they need to come out and give a vote of confidence to a guy who they basically said is going to struggle this year at the beginning of the year. And I think they're mystified as to where the conversation came from. But I don't think that they ought to be reactive and come out and say anything now to quell it necessarily, because that would make them seem, I think, a little bit soft.
So, Tom, I'm curious your thoughts, because the relationship between Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt kind of intrigues me. It felt like about a week and a half ago, Alex Van Pelt was on Jones and Keefe on this very station and talked about the head coach. I do what the head coach wants me to do in terms of conservative play calling. Head coach wants to run the ball, mm-hmm. I run the ball. And it felt like he was kind of pushing the blame towards Gerard for being conservative. And then Sunday, following the Cardinals game, when asked about, QB sneaks and whatnot, and Gerard Mayo goes, you said it, I didn't. And then on our show, kind of walks that back. And then AVP again this week talks about, yeah, we're just trying to protect Drake now all of a sudden, and not get him hurt. Like, is their relationship okay, or are they kind of butting heads a little bit?
I think their relationship is okay. I think that anytime, I take people for what they say, generally speaking, at the podium, at face value. Regardless of what Mayo said, which was inflammatory last week, I do believe he has respect for Van Pelt. I do believe that he looks at the job that he has done with Drake May, the offense as a whole, and the fact that he's dealing from a position of weakness with the personnel, and says he's done a really good job. What I have a bigger issue with, I think, and that they all need to be better at, Van Pelt probably less so than the others, is what's the level of communication that goes on in there on a regular basis? Is everyone way too polite to each other because they're all new and they don't have full trust that everybody's here for the long haul? This was something I expressed concern about in the offseason. When you have a bunch of people, if you, me, Scheim, we don't know each other really that well. You plunked us together and said, hey, run this high-profile business, all of you, together. And it's not really well put together right now, but you guys make it good. We wouldn't have a shared vision. It would take us months to figure out what our shared vision was. And I think that's going on here. So they all tread carefully around each other. That's a real problem, I think, for this team, because I don't think the communication and the explanation is good. For Van Pelt, as gobsmacking as Mayo's comment was last week about, you said it, I didn't. For Van Pelt to sit there and say, I'm just protecting Drake May for next year, that's my number one goal. What are you talking about? There's a good chance you're not going to be here to experience a healthy Drake May if you don't start running him a little bit and getting first downs and touchdowns in critical positions when you're forfeiting them. So how do you get to that point? I don't understand it.
All right, before we let you go here, Tom, let's get a score prediction. How does Drake May look in the freezing cold of Orchard Park? And how do you think this team stacks up with what is it, 14.5 or just 14-point spread here, I think, one of the highest of the weekend? How do you see it going?
I see Buffalo getting the drop on the Patriots. I think one of the most difficult aspects of this matchup for the Patriots is, even though Buffalo's really not playing for anything because KC has things locked up, you're still in a position where Buffalo would love to just kick the Patriots right in the nuts for all the times they did it to them. And they know that the Patriots, that the Bills fans will delight and revel in that. So I think Buffalo boat races them, gets out to about a 20-0 lead, and then the Patriots actually move the ball plenty, but they can't stop them, and they lose 47-17, just like they did in 2021 playoffs.
Okay, there you go. There you have it. That's Tommy Curran's prediction. 41-17, just like in that 47-17, excuse me, like in that Mac Jones playoff game back in 2021.
Sounds
well,
correct.
I think that would be – that's closer than I think it's going to be. So thank you. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can hear him on pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Boston with the crew over there. Tommy, thanks so much for the time.
Okay, guys. Take care.
All right. See you, Tom. Tommy Curran joining the show. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Chris Scheim has what's trending. He'll get you caught up on everything that happened in the college football playoffs and early NFL games on Saturday, what to expect coming up later, and more. And when we come back, we'll have inactives, and I promise we'll get to your phone calls. So if you're on hold, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after Scheim.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Week 16 of the NFL is here. Your New England Patriots are in Buffalo to take on Josh Allen and the Bills. Kickoff for that one is at 4:25 this afternoon. Football has been well underway already this weekend. College football playoff kicked off Friday night. Notre Dame put the beatdown on Indiana 27-17. Penn State dominated SMU yesterday 38-10. Texas handled Clemson yesterday 38-24. And Ohio State laid the smackdown on Tennessee last night 42-17. NFL games already underway as well, as the Chiefs beat the Texans 27-19 yesterday afternoon, and the Ravens beat the Steelers 34-17 last night. Your slate today is as follows: the Giants at the Falcons, the Giants at the Falcons, the Lions at the Bears, Browns at Bengals, Titans at Colts, Rams at Jets, Eagles at Commanders, Cardinals at Panthers, Vikings at Seahawks, Jaguars at Raiders, 49ers at Dolphins, and Buccaneers at Cowboys. Your Boston Celtics beat the Chicago Bulls yesterday 123-98. Jason Tatum lit it up. He went for 43 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists in the game. They're at Orlando to take on the Magic tomorrow night at 7. And the Bruins beat the Sabres 3-1 yesterday. They welcome in the Capitals tomorrow night at the Garden before the NHL Christmas break. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We're back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
Time to be some questions about the New England Patriots and their head coach, Gerard Mayo. Here's my understanding of this situation. The Crafts want to keep Gerard Mayo. They believe he is the leader for the organization, for their future, and they knew it would be a multi-year process to get this thing right. That is their stance right now. Now, if things go off the rails, Rich, if they start to really struggle and they'll lose the locker room the last couple of games of the season, we've seen this thing turn. But as of now, the Patriots believe Gerard Mayo is their leader for the future.
Ian Rappaport on NFL Today. Good morning, NFL. Hello, it is NFL Sunday, and I am Ian Rappaport. I don't know what the name of the show is. I know I should. Maybe my... No, I don't know what it is. I'll look it up. In the meantime...
It's not Good Morning Football?
It might be Good Morning Football.
That's the weekday one. I know that.
But I don't know if that's the Sunday one, right?
Good Morning Football. No, I have no idea.
It was... We'll get to the bottom of this. NFL Game Day.
Ooh, okay.
NFL Game Day is what we were looking
nice.
For. We all lose. Anyway, that was Ian Rappaport basically saying what everybody else has been saying. Gerard Mayo's their leader for the future. They invested in him. They financially invested in him, not just like emotionally or anything. They have a financial stake in Gerard Mayo being the head coach. And absent a free fall is what he said to end the season. What do you think that means? He said losing the locker room, like a mutiny in the locker room. That's what I've sort of thought all along, like when people say, oh, well, how bad can it possibly get? If you totally lose the locker room, that's about as big of a sin as a head coach can have. Even on a team like this at the end of the year where no one really expects anything, you lose that locker room or you have some kind of weird scandal or something, like, you know, just whatever. People, I think, for the most part, I don't know if I speak for everybody here, but I think for the most part, people consider Mayo a good guy. but that he's just in over his head and that it's not going great for him. I think some people maybe resent him for shanking Bill Belichick or something, you know, if that's what you believe. I don't believe he actually did that. But I think there are people out there, the Belichick loyalists, who sort of, you know, turn their nose up at Gerard Mayo for stuff like that. But in general, I think he's looked at favorably as, like, a person. So maybe not as a head coach, but certainly as a guy. If something were to change that view of him, then what do you have left? You know, like, then it's basically you have to do something after
that. It's generally when the locker room goes haywire that coaches lose their job. You look at Chicago, Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
After that game against the Lions, locker room was out on him. So the franchise was out on him. Urban Meyer lost the locker room because he's kicking kickers.
Josh McDaniels.
That's why you're seeing guys like Antonio Pierce and Doug Peterson sit in their jobs for now, because they haven't lost the locker room. They still have the guys playing and connected and such, and they like the head coach, but they're just losing a ton of football games. Gerard Mayo is the perfect example of that. He's losing a ton of football games, but the players seem to still really like him and defend him. I mean, Drake May has now defended him multiple times to the press. And so I agree with you. It would take a massive, massive issue on the field that resulted in him losing the locker room to really force him to lose his job. I don't think he loses his job this year. I just don't. I think he's coming back as much as
this year, like in season, or this year and into the offseason?
Into the offseason.
Okay.
I think like he will be back in 2025.
Got it.
My thought.
Okay.
The Crafts are too committed to him, and they have to be self-aware enough to know that they put him in a position to fail.
I would think that. I would like to think that, but I don't know that I believe that.
Sure.
I don't know that I believe that they have that kind of self-awareness, really, or just the ability to be introspective about how responsible they are for everything that's happened.
But if they like
here.
This guy so much that he's calling Kraft Young Thunder, like, they're going to scapegoat other people before they toss him out the door.
In retrospect, we should have all seen this coming after the Young
100%.
Thunder thing, right? After Young
was
Thunder, we should have been like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
This whole thing, this is ridiculous.
It's the exact same thing as Max Crosby be like, yeah, I'm gonna demand a trade if you don't sign Antonio Pierce as my head coach. You know it's going to go poorly because nothing like that ever works out. When you ride that hard for a guy to be your head coach, you know it's not going to work.
Yeah, generally that's the case. We will have the inactives for you for the 1 o'clock games coming up here in just a few moments. But first, let's go to the phones, as a lot of you are waiting patiently to chime in on this Patriots team. Let's start with Jay in North Carolina, who has a thought on this matchup with New England and the Buffalo Bills. Hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. The Lunch Pail Crew, working not only on before the holidays, but on a Sunday, too.
Bet your ass.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to both, and I hope
you
it's the merriest of all. And Arkan, I'll tell you, glad to have you back. I tell you, if you don't have your health, you ain't got spit. And I think you realize that you got it before you got the holidays coming in. God bless everything.
Yeah, true. And honestly, I didn't miss much time with being sick as I was. But it is true. I feel a lot better now. I'm glad to be back.
Good, good. Anyway, this is the game I dreaded most. I said, what did they say, 47-17 or 47-7? That's just the first half score. Then the Bills are going to kick it in. I hope they put a couple of spotters on Josh Allen so that he doesn't win the game or have any satisfaction whatsoever. And that will be my satisfaction. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas,
have
Jay.
Have a good one, Jay.
Merry Christmas. And I hope Santa Belichick is nice to you this year down there at UNC. That should be fun. Also, I think he'll be in town this week, right, for the Fenway Bowl?
Oh, yeah, Pinstripe Bowl. He'll probably be up in a box watching his guy Freddie Kitchens coach the game.
I would think he's probably, at the very least, going to be up there. So at Fenway, there's some boxes that aren't really boxes. You know what I mean? Like, there's like the they're like garages, kind of.
Yes.
I went to the Bill Burr show, and it was just like a garage door. That was it. And we're sitting up there, I'm like, this is a box. But yeah, it was fine. But we had a nice time for sure. But I've never been up there before. I've never been up in that part of Fenway. So I wonder if they're going to be doing that for the, you know, for all the boosters or the incoming coaches and the incoming coaches, friends and family crew and all that. Like, right, probably, right?
I would wager Belichick and Lombardi will absolutely be there. There'll be some incoming freshmen there. Like, it'll be a party.
Yeah.
Because they got the transfer kid from Holy Cross, right? He'll probably be at that game,
too. Oh, yeah. They got the O-lineman. They got the punter. Next stop, the college football playoffs, folks. Buckle up. Buckle up.
I got my UNC sweatshirt the other day. I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. We had a UNC hat as part of our show, Yankee Swap.
Nice.
And I ended up with it, and then Stiz traded it out. Stiz ended it because it was, you know, Yankee Swap me at the end. He had last swap, and he ended up with it because he's a Bill Belichick rum swap.
Nice.
But I liked it. It was,
good job, Stiz.
You know, looked pretty good. Let's go to Dave in Costco. Dave, are you live in Costco? What's up, Dave?
No, I just got out of Costco, a madhouse to be sure.
I bet. What'd you get?
I got a ribeye.
Ribeye?
Ooh, ribeye.
Nice.
Buy one
of those Costco dogs for $1.50?
You have to.
Oh, those are the best, Anthony. They haven't gone up in price in over 20 years. It's unbelievable.
That's why the Costco CEO can walk down the street, feel fine, doesn't need bodyguard, doesn't need nothing. He keeps those hot dogs down at $1.50. That's why.
Oh, man, absolutely. That's kind of a – I'm not sure that's a type of analogy you want to allude to. But bottom line is I'm a Patriots fan from way, way back, and I've been through some very, very bad situations. This is the most interesting offseason coming up ever. Elliot Wolf is definitely on the hot seat, not Gerard. Elliot Wolf is on the hot seat. He's got money, and he's got draft choices, and he's got to make it happen. If he does, great. You've got first year, now second year, coordinators and a head coach and a quarterback that are going to be getting better next year and then the following year. But this is a process. There's no question about it. It doesn't happen overnight. But this is the offseason to get excited about. I can't wait. It's going to be fascinating. Thanks very much. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Right back at you, Dave. And enjoy that ribeye. And sorry I didn't like my CEO joke. I thought it was funny. Anyway, 617-779-7937. This offseason, I think, is going to be really, really tense. I think this is going to be a very tense offseason, front to bat, no matter who you are.
Because it's make or break.
You have huge decisions to make. Career makers or breakers, basically, for Elliot Wolf, for Gerard Mayo, for Alex Van Pelt, for everybody. I mean, this is the type of offseason that's going to be pins and needles for Patriots fans based on who they target and go after in free agency. If they come up short, oh, my God, it's going to be awful. If they go hard after, like, T. Higgins and he signs somewhere else, that is going to be a death blow it's going to feel like if that happens. And that's probably going to happen.
Oh, it's absolutely
T. Higgins doesn't want to come to New England.
You never know when the money's right. If you're willing to pay the money, sure.
But if that's the only thing, I mean, that's it.
But the Patriots don't do that.
They don't go above and beyond with the money.
But that's the thing. You have to now. Your team is so bad that you have to go above and beyond with the money. You have plenty of cap space.
Bad last year, Sean.
You have plenty of money. You have to do it. You have to overpay for these guys because if you don't, you're going to be in the exact same position and all those guys are going to be out and need jobs. Like, that's how it's going to be.
What you're saying makes sense. What you're saying makes perfect sense, but that's not the way this team operates.
No, I know. And
they were bad last year, and they fired Bill Belichick, and they didn't do any of those things you just
said. Yeah, and the offensive linemen that were available in free agency this past year are better than who's going to be available this coming free agency, by the way. So, and they told you they weren't worth it. The only guy worth it was the guy they re-signed in Mike Onwenu, who's probably the worst of the group. But anyways, like, it's just... their evaluation of talent is infuriating to me. So my hope is that instead of trying to sign guys and draft guys, they just trade for guys. Trade for known commodities. That's what you need to do. Do what the Rams did a couple years ago. As soon as they got Matt Stafford, it's like, all right, we're just going to load picks. We're going to go get Jalen Ramsey. We're going to go get this guy. We're going to go get, Von Miller and Dante Fowler and add these guys who are known commodities, established NFL players, put them on our roster so that we know what we're getting.
Yeah.
F them picks. Don't need them. We have Drake May. Let's just put competent people around him and see what happens. And that's what they need to do, but I guess I'm not convinced that they'll actually do
it. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that to happen.
Especially not with Elliot Wolf.
Yeah, that's really what it's about. I mean, Elliot Wolf, we'll see. He's had one go at this, and it didn't go well. You have two.
That draft class is bad.
You know, it's two strikes, and you're out, I think, at this point. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how they decide to go about it.
By the way,
you're probably getting another blue-chip draft pick, so at the very least, you can have two guys in the top five, right? You know, you got Drake May and whoever this year, Travis Hunter, or you pick one of those tackles or whatever it is you're going to do.
Did you see Joe Tooney playing for the Chiefs yesterday at left tackle? He'd be real nice to have on this team still.
I didn't see him doing that.
Yep. He plays guard, plays center, plays tackle, and he's really good at it, too.
What doesn't he do?
He literally, like...
Play for the Patriots.
He neutralized Danielle Hunter yesterday, who, by the way, has like 9 or 10 sacks. It just... just throwing that one out there.
I did not know he was over there, but I'll take your word for it. I watched part of that game, but
kicked
once
ass.
Once I saw Tank Dell's knee pop out, ooh, I was like, was this probably not going to cover this one. I felt bad for him.
He was
Tank
having a great
Dell,
game.
He got shot in the offseason. Like, yep. He's had a rough go with things.
He has had, yeah.
He's a good player, though.
He's great.
He's really, for a little guy like that, he reminds me of Steve Smith. You know, just like a little tough guy.
Gritty.
Who can get in the end zone, and he's a big red zone threat. I think he led the NCAA when he was at Houston. He led the league, all of college football in touchdowns his senior year. So,
I believe so.
He's a badass. I hope he gets better soon.
Sam.
Let's go to Lewis in Connecticut. Lewis, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I just had to I want to talk about the Patriots-Bills games. I think that this game's going to be actually on a Patriots' favor. I think we're actually going to take this game. The Bills are a little bit, they're getting too hyped up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're good, and I'm tired of these Bills fans. And these Bills fans think that they've already won the Super Bowl. You know, they still have trouble with the teams that aren't that good. And Alex Van Pelt needs to open up the playbook today. Let Drake May sling the ball. Let him throw the ball. You know, throw the ball. And put somebody in for Vidarian Lowe. That guy can't block nothing. He can't block a cold.
Lewis, what part of Connecticut are you from?
I'm from Hartford.
You're from Hartford? Okay, so close enough. But I was going to say, if you really believe in your heart of hearts that the Patriots are going to beat the Bills, the Patriots are plus 750 on the money line, so you take yourself over to Mohegan Sun or wherever, and you make some money.
Beauty of Connecticut,
I would say.
Pull it up on the app.
Yeah, that's true. You can just do that, I suppose.
I'm close to MGM in Springfield, so I'm going to go there and probably put $100 on the Patriots, man. I have faith today.
Look at this. You know what, Lewis? I'm rooting for you, buddy. Thanks for the call. You know, I appreciate it. But
good for you. At least somebody has hope.
You guys too, man.
Listen, if the Patriots win today, Lewis, anytime he wants to call into my show or any show on the weekends, he gets put to the front of the line because he believes. And he's not just saying that on the radio. He's going to MGM Springfield, and he's going to put some money
on it. If the Patriots win today, next Sunday, I will literally just shove a giant pie, whipped cream pie, right in my face. I just
you really teed up a joke there that I'm not going to make. But
I tried to make it as clean as possible.
In the time that I just said all that, the Patriots on the money line jumped from 750 to 830. Plus 830.
Yeah, they're not winning today.
They're not winning today.
I'm sorry. I love.
Although
I love
they are
the
minus 120 to cover the 14.5, which I'm surprised by.
Yeah,
Buffalo's minus 102. So the juice is on them to cover the 14.5. But really, the juice is Patriots money line. If you want to really make some money, like my man Lewis over there.
Don't throw away $100. It's Christmas time. You need to go get presents. Don't throw away $100 in the Patriots money line.
Lewis is clearly a big baller. You know, he's got.
You want to know what the really big baller play here is, Arcand? Patriots money line, Saints money line.
Mm.
Parlay, because the Saints also 14-point dogs to the Packers. Put those two together. 50-1.
50-1, you say?
50-1.
That's pretty good.
You want to be a real big baller, do that.
Yeah, I kind of do want to be a real big baller. Although, I will say, my Travis Hunter, the Heisman futures bet, really went a long way this holiday season. Nice. Let me tell you, that really that worked out good for me. Adam Schefter has today's inactives. I'm not going to go through every single one of them, but I can tell you, there will be no Jameis Magic today. Jameis Winston, inactive. Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle for the New York Jets, is inactive, as is Nick Folk, kicker for the Titans, yes?
Yes.
And the actives today, David Njoku will play, Tony Pollard will play, Zach Ertz will play, and Tyrone Tracy will play, if that helps you in your fantasy matchups or any perhaps wagers you want to go make over at MGM Springfield or Mohegan Sun or at any of the other fine establishments around here where you can do those types of things, then glad to pass on the information. 617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good, Steve.
This
How are you?
This guy's delusional. The best bet of the year was Miami. They weren't giving as many points. You got to be careful giving 14.5, but there's no way that Patriots are going to win. Buffalo remembers institutionally this 3-31 that got hung on him by Brady. And I know a lot of Buffalo fans. I don't know any that are optimistic going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, Steve, let me tell you this. Just real quick, last year, no one thought that Mac Jones was going to beat Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, and he did, and that happened. So, right? I mean, like, listen, it's not like Buffalo, they're weird in division games. And I do think there's.
Is it going to be? I agree. Division games are funny, but guess what? Is there going to be 50-mile-an-hour winds today?
No, I don't think so. But it's supposed to be like freezing cold, like 0 degrees.
Was that occurred?
No. Steve, you're thinking of the wrong Buffalo game.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah, I'm talking about last year. Yeah.
Last year, they beat the Bills like 28-25, and Mac Jones drove them down at the end of the game and scored a touchdown to win. I know. I was at the stadium.
Yeah. That was not the crazy win game. That was Mac's rookie year with the crazy win game.
Yes, correct.
They're not gonna win.
Okay, well, you're right, fine. Steve. You're right.
You had a caller calling in talking about Elliott Wolf. I got a text last night after spending a night with some good friends that I text all the time. They said, you know, why don't you watch college football and then tell us who they're supposed to pick in the draft? You're always telling us what happens after the draft and all these other teams that get all these good mid-range players. I said, it's not my job to scout college football. As a matter of fact, in the last 3 years, I could have done a better job, the Patriots football operations guys, and I would have spent 2 8-hour days prepping, and what would I have used? All external sources. How could I have done worse than what they've done in the last 3 years, which makes this guy point that other caller, you're going to have a stack of good, not average, not mediocre, good drafts one after another. And it didn't happen this year. Okay, that we get a little consolation that we got a quarterback, thank God. But we got nothing else. So next year is really year one. It is a big offseason. We've got to have players. We're playing Buffalo. They've got this Dalton Keene.
Mm-hmm.
They've not Dalton Keene. They've got
Dawson Knox.
Dalton Kincaid.
And Dalton Kincaid. And Steve, we got to let you go because you've been on for 2 minutes. But yeah, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. 617-779-7937. Do we have keys? Do we have keys? We have keys. Wiggy came through with the keys. We'll get Wiggy's keys to the game right after this.
This is WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
You know, I think, you know, AVP, what he's done for me this year and what he's done for you know, my development has been huge for me. And you know, I credit AVP and TC and the quarterback room for helping me prepare every week and, you know, still taking every week, you know, even with our record every week, like it's, you know, a big one for us. And I really respect that and I appreciate for them really taking a chance on me along with the rest of the other franchise. So there's a lot of things to look forward to. And, you know, I've been, you know, a big fan of AVP and how he's handle my approach, and we're still shooting. This is only our eighth or ninth game together, so we're still figuring kind of each other out and kind of what you know, how he's calling it and how much input he wants me to kind of help him with. So it's been nice trying to find that, and I think, you know, we're not far from it.
That was Drake May talking to Andy Hart and myself on Monday over the phone. He doesn't like to come in and see us anymore. I think I know why.
Did Andy make him uncomfortable one time?
I think Andy got was playing a little footsie with him.
Ah, jeez.
Because we were so doing? We have. I don't know.
Come
if
on.
You know how in the studio down there at Gillette they have the desk.
Yep.
But sometimes they have like the easy
couches?
Chairs, like the couch chairs. So one day we came in and they had just shot one of their shows there with the chairs. And Matt Morrell, who you know is the producer down there, has to go in and change out that set every time by himself. He has to just do it himself, which seemed like a lot of stuff to do. And we say, you know what? Why not today just leave it like that? And we'll all just sit out here. We'll sit on the chairs. And don't worry about the desk. And so we had it set up so that Drake had to kind of like squeeze in to get to his chair. And he had to go past Andy Hart. And I think that's when, I don't know, maybe like Andy was like super
Andy
sweaty or
something.
Like,
huh?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. Also, when Drake got up and left, Andy took a big big sniff of the chair, which I thought was a little inappropriate.
What?
I'm just kidding.
What are we doing, Hart? Come on, figure it out.
He didn't do that, but I know he wanted to. Anyway, yeah, he probably would have. Let's get to Wiggy's Keys. Coach Wiggy from the Greg Hill Show with Chris Scheim, of course, Greg, and Wiggy, Courtney, Chris Curtis, etc. He gives keys to the game of every week. I don't know what they could possibly be today, they have a very uphill battle here against this Buffalo Bills team. But let's get to key number one.
What up? It's your boy, Wiggy Hill. My three keys to the game. Number one, don't let Josh Allen beat you with those off-script extended plays. You got to do a great job of pass rush and having great lane discipline.
Okay, well, that's a nice sentiment, Wiggy. I do think that's a nice thing to wish for. It does see the thing with Wiggy's keys lately is that they read more like unrealistic Christmas lists. Like I want a brand new Lexus, and I want that, and that would be nice.
Get me a private plane,
if
Santa.
You could get your pass rush to bother Josh Allen, which not even the good pass rushers in the league can't do that. And don't let him go off script. That's all he does.
Who has
great
your pass rush bothered all year? Just
Nobody.
Caleb Williams, right?
That's the one
that's
person.
It?
Yeah, I'd say that's
it.
Basically it. You've had clean jersey games from Kyler Murray, who gets sacked a lot, from Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence. Everybody. I mean, it's really, you haven't gotten hardly anyone other than Caleb Williams in that one week, which I think is just the flukiest week of all time.
Yeah, Josh Allen's going to beat you.
Yeah, he probably is. That is a good key,
though.
I'm sure they're emphasizing
if
that
they were
in the locker room.
Win the football game, he's right. That's one way in which they're one thing they're going to have to do in order to win the football game.
Right. Which is why they're not going to win the football
You're
game.
Right.
All right, let's get the key number two.
Number two, you got to be able to run the football. Running the football will allow you to open up play action with Drake May.
Okay, yep. This one I think is a little bit more attainable.
Sure.
Because they ran the ball well against Arizona. And I also thought they ran the ball pretty well against the Colts. They had pretty good running attacks in both of those games. They picked up pretty good yards per carry. Like, it wasn't a total bleep show like it had been against Miami and some of these other games where they couldn't get the run game going at all. I feel like in the last 2 weeks, that's ticked up a bit. Not a lot, but a bit.
I also think that it's been – I think we need more Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
He has been the better runner between him and Ramondre this year.
Agreed.
I just think he's more decisive with the football, and Ramondre is very much more he has that Le'Veon Bell where I'm going to take it real slow, but he's just not as explosive as Bell was. And so I think Antonio Gibson needs to be featured more in order to get this run game going a little
bit. Gibson has, I think, more big play potential these days.
Yeah,
than
he has
Stevenson
a better
does.
Yards per carry by far.
Yeah, he's had more long runs, I want to say. Like, I remember more of his long runs, I'd say, than Stevenson's, which isn't to say he's an all-around better running back.
No.
I don't necessarily think that he is, but I'm not super in love with
Gibson
what I've
seen
from Stevenson.
Gibson has almost a yard per carry more than Ramondre.
Is that right?
Gibson's at 4.7, Ramondre 3.8.
Okay. I know Ramondre was over 5 yards per game in the Arizona game. I think he had a pretty good YPC against Indy, too, but I may be misremembering that. At any rate, I think that's, as crazy as it may sound, going up against a Buffalo Bills team that's pretty good, you may be able to keep the ball away from Josh Allen longer than...
That's how you win this football game,
right?
You make the game shorter. You just possess. You need long... Just plodding drives, first down, second down, third down, convert, first down, just over and over again. Like that, I mean, I don't know if anybody watched that Eagles game. What was that, last week or 2 weeks ago, where they had that 11-minute drive to cap off the game? Like, you need stuff like that if you want to beat Josh Allen, because he's going to score in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes him no time at all to get down the field on anybody. So the only way you win the football game is to just erase the clock, and that's the only way you can do that against this team.
The Bills' defense has allowed 86 points combined in the last two games, while the offense has scored 90 points, so, you know, better.
Yeah.
But that defense can be exploited. That Buffalo Bills defense does have some issues with it, and they have secondaries all banged up. All their safeties are out. They're probably gonna have to play the rookie, the kid from Utah. And I think that in general, that's the only way really that you can make any headway here. It's still probably not going to be enough, but yeah, you run the football, take your chances. You know what, Lewis in Connecticut, I'll send you $100 to put it down for me there at MGM too. Let's get to our third key.
And number three, create turnovers. I need to see some turnovers, interceptions, sack strip for fumbles. Create turnovers. That's how you win the game.
Once again, dear Santa Claus, I would like a brand new yacht. I would like a private plane. I would like a vacation. I'd like my own private island. Like, these are all things that, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to have all of that, but it seems more and more, here we are at the end of the season, and it's like, yeah, you maybe want to start forcing some interceptions now against Josh Allen, who's almost completely eliminated that from his game now.
I think that's
he doesn't
the most
turn the ball
thing.
Over basically at all anymore.
He doesn't. No, I mean, the last three seasons, 15, 14, 18 interceptions. This year, he has 5. That's why he's playing the position better than anybody else on the planet, because he is so explosive in the run game and the pass game, and he doesn't turn the football over, ever. And there were, like, reports out this morning that, I think it was Rap Sheet or somebody said that he's been playing the majority of the season with a broken left hand. Mm. And he's like, yeah, doesn't matter. I'm just going to go out here and do my thing. I put it in a glove every week. It's probably taped up and shot up to no God knows where, and he's just lighting it up. And, like, that's going to be the most difficult thing. And the Patriots have struggled with it all year. They can't create turnovers, whereas this Bills defense, that's the one thing they've done successfully for the most part this year, is they do create turnovers, and that's the big difference here.
Yeah, they have a pretty strong pass rush, with Russo and Miller, and they drafted a defensive tackle who I think they put in on, like, passing down. So they've got good young athletic players and, you know, some veterans up there, too, who can get after the quarterback. I think Drake May is going to have his head on a swivel here. It's going to be one of those type of games. And, yeah, it's going to be freezing cold.
It's going to be
– He says he's played in, like, high school. He played in games in the teens and stuff, but
– Dude, you're from the Carolinas. You're not – like, it is different in Buffalo.
Buffalo cold?
It's different.
Off the lake? Like, I mean, that's a different thing. You're right. It's very, very different. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes. 617-779-7937 is your phone number if you'd like to chime in the conversation. We have room for you on the phone lines. You can text the show as well. Andy Hart will join us at 1220. In the meantime, we will reset on the stories of the week. None of them particularly good for your New England Patriots or their coaching staff. Also, the Buffalo Bills dominating the AFC East once again. Is this something that we're just going to have to accept for however long Josh Allen is playing there? It's starting to look that way. We'll get to all that next.